Johnny Thunders, the Hoods that you mentioned, Del Fuegos and Blue Cheer. So Blue Cheer really was, did turn out all right after that horrible start.
Well, I guess. They had probably done a lot of drugs, you know, prior to that, those 80 shows, and had a little bit of possible brain damage, but they were good. And Dickie actually was a nice guy, you know.
Yeah, and Billy Rath.
Oh, Billy produced our first single.
That's right. He recorded and produced a single for you guys. So that's pretty good.
He did. That's the funniest thing I remember. Like, we were recording a single. We did it in Revere, Massachusetts at Euphoria Sound, which is a great studio, and Billy agreed to do it for us. And I remember,
I still have that same damn cold.
I do too. It's really super annoying.
Terrible.
And so I remember going into the booth and seeing Billy, like, looking through the glass into the recording booth. And I look at Billy, and you're just staring straight. And I go, "What's up, man?" And he goes, "Nothing." And I go, "Are you okay?" And he goes, "You're a drummer." And I go, "Yeah." He goes, "He looks like H.R. Puffin stuff."
A reference that only people of a certain age
Right, like a stuffed animal. And I said, "Are you serious?" He goes, "Yeah." And I go, "Okay, let's just finish this recording, man. You know, we got a lot on our plate here. You know, we don't have to talk about why the drummer looks like a stuffed animal." And he didn't say it like it's funny. Isn't that funny? He's like, "He does look like H.R. Puffin stuff."
Meant it.
Yeah, that meant it. So that came out the way you expected it to come out, you know. And, you know, that record was a lot of fun.
Well, that's
do.
Pretty good. Yeah. All right, so we've been talking for about a half hour with Greg and Corey from Greg Allen's Fringe Religion. I want to tell you it's 10 a.m. at WMFO Medford. I want to jump ahead, Greg, from when you actually finished Blue Cheer and lasted about 2 or 3 years, right? And you moved to New York at that point. You're about 24 years old, and you moved there, and we mentioned London for a little while. You were back in New York. In New York, you loved it. You loved all the great bands there, and you worked at Tower Records, which makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
And you mentioned that your girlfriend at the time was in a band called Bee Gees. Not Bee Gees, Bee Girls band.
She had joined Cynthia Ross's band briefly called the Bee Girls, but she was in a band here in Massachusetts called Fuzzy. They did a few records on Atlantic Records. They're pretty popular. But at that time, I think she had ditched me, and I'd moved to New York, and we'd still live together in this weird welfare hotel
that's
for the first
mentioned.
Year.
You yeah. know? Now, that's the kind of things you'll do because you want to be near the bands.
Yeah.
You moved into this welfare hotel. And then I guess you ended up in a porno studio at some point as well. Things were just going nowhere fast.
No, not really. I mean, but the thing when you're young, you don't really think about how horrible, you know, living with giant cockroaches at the end of the bed or living in a porno studio. You just think of it as an adventure. It was a lot of fun. You don't really think like, oh, you know, I should be getting an education and own a BMW or something. At that point, it was just like, no, I want to, you know, I love the city. It smells like garbage and everybody's, you know, either a musician or an artist. And it just was so cool. The vibe was so cool. You didn't really care how you lived, whether you lived in a cardboard box or in a, you know.
Yeah, you just want, I understand, you just want to be in the scene. And in that whole thing.
Yeah.
And the whole New York Dolls thing, you know, came up again when Jerry Nolan sort of came into your life. He was the ex-drummer of the New York Dolls. And you had seen him in a band, a short-lived one that he was in, called the Ugly Americans, that you guys opened for a few times. And he liked your band.
Well, yeah, we played with Jerry and Sill and the Ugly Americans. I thought they were great. We'd go down and see them every Friday night at the Continental.
That's fantastic.
And they were just great. And then finally we said, I think our drummer Simon said, Simon, who was from Boston actually, he was in the Two Saints and the Daughters and a bunch of other groups. He said, you know, maybe we should get a gig and somehow, I don't know if he got it or I got it, we got in there and we did a couple shows with him. And
was that with the Profilers?
No, the Profilers were later on. That was Jerry, myself, and Chicago Vinny.
Okay.
So we did a couple shows and then I saw Jerry in front of my apartment and he had quit Sill's band. And he said, oh, I like your band, man, you know. And I said, oh, cool. And he said, where are you playing next? And I said, we're playing at the Hell's Angels bar down at the end of the street. And he said, oh, when? And I said, tonight. And he said, oh, I'll come down and check it out, you know. And I said, sure. So sure enough, him and Buddy Bowser showed up. Buddy Bowser played on the first Dolls album, great sax player, but nice. Jerry's best friend. And it was an interesting night there. And he's like, I really like this group. It's a horrible name. I think the name of the band was the Whores of Venice. That's what we called our band.
Nice.
And, yeah, it was pleasant. And and then he said, you know, I said, maybe we should put something together at one point. He said, absolutely. Let's, you know, do something. So we started hanging out together. And I'd play drums and he'd play guitar. And we figured, you know, let's put a band together. And so we did eventually, you know.
Now, when did the Profilers happen? Because I know you guys recorded a couple of 5 or 6 songs with...
Well, we're going to do an album. Jerry had agreed... Actually, I was going to have a different drummer play, and I was living with Jerry at the time on 1st Street and 1st Avenue. Hmm. And I was on the phone with this drummer in Boston, and I had got a little money together to record, and I had asked him if he wanted to play, and I put the phone down. Jerry looks at me and goes, what are you doing? I said, oh, I'm just calling this guy in Boston, this drummer I know, and you know who might want to record with me. And he goes, why didn't you ask me? And I said, well, I don't know. I just
didn't think you'd be interested.
No, that's exactly what I said. I said, I didn't think you'd be interested. You know, and he goes, no, I love these songs. Get rid of that guy. So... I said, you know, man, we're not going to do that. You know, so Jerry and I put something together. And then we got Chicago Vinny from Rhode Island. And, you know, it was a very big guy, Vinny. He passed away a few years ago. And the first time I brought him down, and Vinny's very imposing looking and looked like he just got out of jail and we'll go back again. And and he told, and Jerry looks at him like, who is this guy? He goes, you bring me this? You know, and I go, yeah. And he goes, I, you know, look at the way Lewis looks like a criminal. And I said, well, better, you know. And then Vinny started telling Jerry all the guys he played with, like Lazy Lester and all these blues guys he's toured with. And Jerry was a complete blues fanatic, you know, like you know. And so he's like, this guy'd be perfect in the band. So that's how we got Vin. And we started recording. And we had got even more money to finish a record, but then Jerry got sick halfway through the recording and died.
Passed away.
Yes.
And you had those recordings, and I guess you kept them in your apartment in a coffin.
Yes. I had a coffin in my living room.
As people do, yeah.
Most New Yorkers, prerequisite coffin.
I'm not sure
in living
that.
Room.
Hmm. Never know we're going to need one.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Be prepared.
And around that time, it would have been very useful, but, you know. Had the 2-inch... reels of tape in there for several years, and then Night Bob. I mentioned it to Night Bob, who worked for Aerosmith for years, and all these people, great gorilla producer, sound man, etc. I said, let me mix some of these, you know, and he made some rough mixes, and he said, you know, you can't, these tapes are so old, they're oxidized, and they're going to come right off the reel, so the only way to make them happen is to bake them in this oven, convection oven.
Uh-oh. is this another fire story?
No, they baked the tapes, and so that's we managed to salvage 5 or 6 songs out of the 10 that we did, and we put that out.
In a documentary kind of a...
Right.
In memory of Jerry.
And not like this is it, you know, stellar performances. No, that wasn't
Is it
there.
Available somewhere?
It's available on Bomp Records on vinyl, on pink vinyl, 12-inch, and it's available through them, and it's available digitally at Kudos in London, Kudos Limited, which is the distribution that... I work with in England, so you can get it digitally. Or I think there's a few copies left. There were only 200 pressed of the pink vinyl, and I think there's very few left at Bomp. But
it is on Spotify too.
If you can't
get your hands on a physical copy.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, it's a great thing that you got to sort of wrap that up and put that out in his memory. That was very good. All right. So let's come full circle here to Greg Allen's Fringe Religion, which is why we're here. You guys formed in like 2013, correct?
The original band? I don't remember. I don't remember what year it was. It was a completely different lineup.
It's when you moved to Boston from New York.
When I first moved from Boston, well, I had moved to Rhode Island and then back here. I'd stayed in Rhode Island for a couple of years.
Had some lousy jobs.
I went to school in Rhode Island in early 2000 to get my paralegal degree.
Criminal justice
stuff because I had been arrested and...
Well, that'll come in handy when, you know, when you need to speak on your own behalf.
I may be, you know, going back that way again. I don't know. I don't know. So I went to school there, came back to Boston. The first band I joined was a band called Port Charles Quintet as a guitar player with Greg Steinbaugh and Cam Ackland. And we did covers of like Paul Revere and the Raiders stuff and Kinks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And then I put together Fringe Religion. So I'd say that band Fringe Religion was together 10 years at least, you know.
Yep. So you've got a new record coming out finally that we started talking about and you started talking about before the pandemic, I think.
And yeah. Well, Corey here is engineering everything. We're recording it all in my house in the basement.
And that's what we're going to hear today.
Yeah, Corey's recorded everything and engineered everything. And so we started it, and then during the pandemic, we took a bit of a break. And maybe you can explain more about the process.
Yeah, when everything shut down, we didn't practice. We like even rehearsed for a little while, but then I think we all got bored and started rehearsing again. And
you were together in the basement,
masks up? With masks on and everything. And we were like, well, there's not any gigs right now, so maybe we're just doing this for fun. And I think Greg suggested, well, why don't we record? You know, we've got a handful of new things that we've been working on. Why don't we just start recording them? And he asked me, have you ever done that before? And I was like, a little bit at home, just by myself. He's like, oh, you can probably record an album or whatever. So,
he's done a great job. I A and B it with all my favorite records, and just for sonically and all that stuff, and it's right up there. And
it sounds amazing, based that it's a do-it-yourself recording in your basement.
We got some great players on it, too,
Yeah, talk about the rest of the band before we spin a couple of these songs.
Well, the rest of the band is, we have Greg Steinbaugh on bass, great bass player I played with in the Two Saints, and he was in Port Charles Quintet and various Boston bands, excellent player. And Jeff Larson, great drummer, he's from my neighborhood. He played in cover bands mostly. I think he was in a couple original bands, but a real excellent drummer, hard hitter, great meter, and, We have Morgan Fisher from Mott the Hoople playing on the record.
Nice.
We have Tommy Price, who was Joan Jett's drummer for 35 years. He played with Billy Idol, all that stuff, like Rebel Yell, and he was in Scandal, and he was in Mink DeVille, and he was in, did some stuff with Blondie, played with Ron Wood. He's one of the best drummers, just fantastic. I saw him a few years ago playing with Chris Spedding and Robert Gordon. And his style was so completely polar opposite the Joan Jett drumming style. I mean, he can just play anything. So he's playing on that.
So these guys recorded their parts and sent them to you.
They flew them in, yeah.
Right. Neat.
And Johnny Rayo is on it from David Johansen's band. And Thomas Trask is going to be on it. He was in David's band. And who else? Are we missing anybody?
A couple of friends I've played with in the past bands. Some saxophone on one track from a friend of mine I used to play with back in Texas in like a 40s and 50s rhythm and blues type band. I think that's
all right. Well, I'm really excited for people to hear what's come out of your basement, so to speak.
Sure.
These are great. We've got six songs we want to play today. I want to play two, then we'll talk about them a bit more, but let's talk about these two songs. And if there's anybody of note that's on these songs, let me know. We want to start with Glass Legs. Where'd that title come from?
That title came from my mother when I was a little kid. I keep going back to my mommy. But when I was a kid, I'd go like, oh, can I get that? Can you hand me that or something? Or like, that's a silverware dish. And she'd go, get it yourself. What do you have, glass legs? So I always thought that was kind of funny. So the character, you sewed me up nicely. Your coffin fit like a glove and all your mislaid plans affected and unsung. Is this dark kind of person who's just kind of evil. And the title came because it's not relevant to the song. The song, has a story of its own, but I just thought it would be an interesting title.
Yeah, you can just pull that phrase into,
Anything can happen if you have glass legs.
Anything
could.
And none of it's good.
Step in the wrong direction and you're done.
Bad. All right.
And this is the track with Morgan Fisher from Mott the Hoople and later Mott.
Playing
all the keyboards on it.
Very cool. Yeah. Wow. All right, and the other one we'll do is I Need a Cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
And that title, that lyrically, what's it about? How'd that come about?
That's anxiety-driven, I guess.
It's pretty straightforward. It's about what it's about, right?
You need a cigarette every time I think of you, every time I get anxious. I think I need I don't smoke anymore and I quit. And then sometimes I guess it's one of those things like, this is driving me nuts. I wish I had a cigarette.
Yeah, you can't do it.
No, you can't.
You can't do it.
No.
All right, so at 10:14 in the morning, let's spin these two songs. And we'll back after. Nobody's heard these, right?
I don't believe many people have, no.
Certainly not on the Redidio.
No.
All right, starting with Glass Legs, we'll segue in I Need a Cigarette, and then we'll be back after that. This is WMFO in Medford.
You sewed me up nicely, your coffin fit like a glove. And all your mislaid plans affected and unsung. But no one really cares. touch. Your poison little fingertips stained with nicotine. And I know what you're up to and all your dirty little tricks.
WMFO, Medford, 10:21 in the morning. I'm Mike, here with Greg and Corey from Greg Allen's Fringe Religion, from whom we just heard. We had two songs that are going to be on the latest record. First was Glass Legs that we heard about. Thanks, Mom. And I Need a Cigarette. The anxiety song for the ages. Anything else you guys want to add about those two? I will say that I appreciate everybody listening out there and commenting on the Facebook thread. I guess you're liking what you're hearing. It's good stuff. It's really good stuff, you guys. You should be proud of it.
I like it. I like the record. I don't normally like much stuff that I've done after I've recorded it. But, I like this record. I think it's really good. I'd buy it. But
it's really we've talked about all this stuff for the better part of an hour, and that really is demonstrable of what we talked about. You know, all that stuff is really what you would want to hear from you after knowing sort of where you came from.
Yeah,
it's good.
None of this was preconceived. Some of the songs are older than others. Some were written, just recently, and some are 10 years old.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I hear that a lot from songwriters. Sort of songs percolate for a long time, and when it's finally quote-unquote done, still it's not done, but you've got to get it out. So
Had other people that kind of don't like it, or they don't see what you see in it as an eventual recording, or various reasons, you know.
Yeah, I mean, as I've said many times, you know, music is one of those things, it's so subjective.
Right.
It just is. I mean, you never know. You know, the thing that really gets you doesn't get somebody else. All right, so let's talk about two more songs and play them. We have one called Cast You Away and another one called Just Like That. We'll play them in that order. Talk a little bit, either one of you guys can comment on Cast You Away.
Cast You Away.
Pointing at each other.
Well, you wrote it.
I've been listening to Jackie DeShannon or something, and I don't know. And I came up with this. Again, it's, heartbreak, going to cast you away, the way you reeled me in, And
I see.
And had that kind of groove, Jackie DeShannon meets the Who, early Who, kind of, don't know what else it sounds like. What do you think, Corey? I don't know. I really can't.
Yeah, I agree. It, has kind of that, the Searchers that did that same
Searchers
song that Jackie DeShannon had a hit with, Every Time That You Walk in the Room.
Right.
I can't remember what it's called.
I love that song, yeah.
Okay. So that's Cast You Away. The next one will be Just Like That.
Well, it speaks for itself. You know, it's just, it something's going to get you, and it's not going to give you any warning. And,
this is going to be a good sampling of, different sounds. Like, none of these songs that you're playing sound
right.
Like the others, but Just Like That is kind of, has a real kind of heavier middle part. It's a lot shorter.
It's a ton of bricks.
Less than 2 minutes.
Yeah.
That one's less than 2 minutes, yeah.
It gets to the point, gets in and gets, it's one of my favorite ones on this album.
All right.
I think Corey did a great job capturing it.
All right. So let's do this. We'll hear Cast You Away and then Just Like That, and then we'll come back and talk. This is WMFO Medford.
Life's way too short.
WMFO 10:29 in the morning. Mike with Greg and Corey from Fringe Religion, and we just heard two more songs that are going to be out on this EP. Do you have a time when you think this will be released?
It will actually be a full length record. I think we've got about 12 songs. I don't know. Corey would probably. What do you think?
We've got about 15 tracks that are.
See, he knows. I don't.
Okay.
In various stages. Most of them are almost done. There's really only like one.
So you're looking for March or April? Because people are going to want to hear this.
Summer probably.
Yeah, probably.
Fall.
Yeah.
You know. Summer, fall, huh? Yeah.
It's a lot going on. It's expensive. We've been shopping the record.
That was just me being disappointed. Not. I mean, are you okay? I mean, beyond today, are you okay with radio play before it comes out, or are you going to want
course.
Us to wait?
Sure.
Yeah, of course.
All right, but you got to mix them a little bit more and get them ready before we spread this out.
A little tweaking, but
all right, cool. It sounds really good, guys. So that was "Cast You Away," followed by "Just Like That." Great stuff on both of them. Anything additional that came to mind while we were playing them, or?
Just realized how pleasant "Just Like That" sounds. This doesn't sound it's a pleasant little ditty.
Yeah. All right, so we want to play two more that'll round out the new songs that you guys have. We have "Two Worlds Collide" and we have "One of the Boys." Let's talk a little bit about the first one, "Two Worlds Collide."
This is the one that Johnny Rayo has played on so far.
Awesome.
And he's the lead guitar that's kind of the surfy, kind of reverby sounding one. And then there's my parts are kind of like back and forth, which was really cool to do. It would have been fun to do it in person, but did it virtually.
Yeah, maybe you'll have a gig one of these days where you can do that.
I'm sure.
Yep, on stage. I'm making up my own accent. One of the Boys.
Just the song that I loved, and it was a little difficult to persuade the other two guys to do it, I think, at first, but I think they came, got on the page with it. Just a great song by Martha Hoople that I think we did a pretty good version of it.
Yeah, goes over well live, too.
Yeah. Corey's guitar playing is great. Everybody's playing on this, and particularly, I just think it's good and sloppy and rock and roll, and it just screams rock and roll. And that's why I like it.
Yep. All right, so let's spin these two. We have Two Worlds Collide, followed by the cover. You don't do too many covers, huh? Is this the only one on the record so far?
So far.
Okay, Two Worlds Collide, then One of the Boys. This is Greg Allen's Fringe Religion on WMFO.
Mississippi's drowning, death from above. Saw it on the 5 o'clock news, now I'm sending my love. Gangs on my street, they out for blood. Riding round them little mini bikes, man, it's just too much. Stay awake all night. Tomorrow, both two worlds collide. Shot down here in Soho by the girl I love. She told me I was nothing, just a pile of junk. Said, oh, man, good luck, good luck. Stay awake tonight. Tomorrow, both two worlds collide.
Thank you.
WMFO in Medford, about 10:40 in the morning. I'm here with Greg and Corey from Greg Allen's Fringe Religion. And that was the fifth and sixth songs that we heard, Two Worlds Collide and One of the Boys, from what is going to be a full-length record coming out sometime in 2023, hopefully sooner rather than later. We heard six songs that included Glass Legs, I Need a Cigarette, Cast You Away, Just Like That, and then Two Worlds Collide, and One of the Boys. And I got to tell you guys, sounds really good. Like I said, should be proud of it. Getting very good feedback on the Facebook thread. So, yeah, mission accomplished. I mean, deserves to be heard. Really does.
Thank you.
It's really good stuff. And you guys are playing out next week.
We are. A week from today.
Yeah, tell
Saturday,
us about that.
January 14th at the Midway. And it's an afternoon show.
3 o'clock show, right?
Yeah, 3 o'clock show. We're playing with Hammered Saint, Stop Calling Me Frank, and Hilken Mancini.
Okay.
So, Hammered Saint in particular are going to be debuting some new material and a new guitar player.
And do you know the set times when you guys go on?
I think the first set starts at 3:30, and it'll be Hammered Saint, Stop Calling Me Frank, then us, and then Hilken. And
so you're probably about 4:30... Five-ish.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, all right. It's probably going to be kind of short sets.
All right. Well, I want to try to go there. I hope folks that are in the area will go next week, Saturday, at the Midway Cafe, 3 o'clock start. Great venue, great place to go. And as you heard, you're going to hear great stuff from Greg Allen's Fringe Religion. All right. At 10:42, let me just end with a couple more stories from you, Greg, since we've got, you know, Keith Richards to talk about. You've had some experiences with him, more than you probably ever expected. You know, tell us a couple.
Well, a couple.
Your choice.
There's one story that I keep telling that everybody who's heard it before kind of just roll their eyes and walk away. But I had his son Marlon called me when I was living in New York about working for this magazine and called Cheap Date, which at one point Keith bankrolled. It was a kind of fashion rock and roll magazine that my girlfriend at the time actually was, ran it. Anyway, he said, you know, I heard you write and stuff. And I'm like, who is this? It's like Marlon Richards. I'm like, it's Keith Richards' son? He's like, yeah, you know, blah, 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 blah. I said, well, I'm not really a writer. I'm just, you know, a musician. He said, well, somebody told me you could write. Maybe you might be interested in writing for this magazine, which I did a little bit of, you know, did the horoscopes or whatever. And anyway, so he kept saying, you know, you got to meet my dad. We never referred to him dad. It's Keith. You know, I'm like, hey, I'd like to hang out with Keith, you know. But I lived in Queens, Long Island City, and then I worked in Manhattan. And so it was always a drag when I got out of work to have to get on the train and come back at 4 in the morning because that's when those guys would show up. So say you call me a couple times. My, you know, Keith's down here hanging out, drinking, you know, drinks and stuff to pop around. I'm like, it's 2 in the morning. I don't want to get on the, you know. So then one day I was working as a bar back at the time, and I was down in the basement. And so my boss said, don't let anybody down the basement ever. Don't let anybody down there. If anybody comes down there, you have my permission to punch him or push him or get him out, because that's where all the money is and this is where we keep everything. So I had a key, and a couple other people had keys to the basement. 2 in the morning, I'm down there smoking a cigarette, drinking a beer, just relaxing. The place is packed upstairs. Yep. And I'm by myself in the basement, which, you know, it's filthy, rat-infested basement, but it was some place where I could take a break and just, you know, chill out. So at the very end, probably about 40 feet away, there's the door, which is I had locked and I had a key for, and I see the door open. I'm like, what the, who could be down here at, you know, at 2:30? So I'm just looking at the wall and thinking, okay, when they come up to me, I'm just going to, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to react, but it's somebody, either they want the money or something wrong, because I don't recognize this figure coming at me. So I feel this tap on my shoulder and I turn around. You know, it's Keith Richards, and he takes his face and he puts it directly in front of mine. He goes, who are you and blank are you doing here? I can't swear on the radio,
no,
apparently.
Can't.
And I just said, what? You know, and he's got his face like pressed right against mine. Like, and I'm thinking, how did this happen? You know?
Yeah, I know who this is, and this can't be happening.
Right. You can't. It's a dream. You know, right. He's wearing like leather pants and a t-shirt. I remember everything he was wearing. He has one lazy eye. So one eye's looking right at me. The other's going in the total opposite direction. And I just said, you know. And then he goes, and he kind of motions to me to the manager's office. He goes, come in here, sit down. And he had some stuff. I can't get into too much detail. But he's like, sit down, relax, you know, and he by himself. They had set him up to come down to freak me out, which worked out well.
Yeah.
And as soon as he said, who the, you know, blank at you, he turned around and walked face first into the wall.
Yeah.
And my favorite one. Then he turns around and he looks at me, just kind of shrugs his shoulders like, whatever, you know.
It happens.
It happens. And then he was totally cool. And so we hung out for a little bit. And then Marlon, his son, and a few other of his friends came down. They kind of looked at me like, I gotcha. And I was like, well, that's a trip. And then I decided to go back to work and the next, you know, and not hang out with him that long because I was still working. My boss came in the next day and said, but you didn't hang out with Keith the whole night. I said, I'm here to work. And he said, what are you, an idiot? He goes, you know, I said, well, I figured you'd get angry that I'm not working and hanging out and partying with Keith. He goes, no. He goes, you're an idiot. Anyway, that was one.
Well, this is one more thing about Keith that you mentioned to me, and I hope that I didn't take this down.
It's all about
but
Keith.
Something about being punched by Keith Richards. Did I hear that wrong?
I never got. I don't remember that. I don't know. Maybe. I only met him that one time and briefly the day of Live Aid. That was in a whole different story, but no.
Amazing, though. I mean,
no fisticuffs with that guy.
All right. Well, listen, at 10:47 in the morning, I want to thank you guys very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Especially at this horrible hour.
Yeah.
You know, we'll do it again when this finally comes out.
Love to, yeah.
And again, we want to talk about the gig next week at the Midway Cafe. 3 p.m. start. You guys will probably be on around 4:30-ish. And it's a great lineup. And it's going to be just the main guys. Any special guests with you guys? Or is it just going to...
Hopefully we can make it. We've been, you know, our bass player was sick with COVID for a couple of weeks, and I've been sick, and... It's our first real rehearsal for a few weeks since everybody got sick. So I hope we can pull it together. I think, you know, it might be a little rough and tumble, but it's rock and roll.
Yeah, it might be a train wreck, so you should definitely come down to see that.
It could be great, or it could be horrific.
I definitely want to try to go.
Yeah.
I really do. The Midway's a great place to see a band.
Yeah.
All right. So, again, Greg Allen and Corey from Greg Allen's Fringe Religion. New record coming out sometime this year. I want to thank you guys again. And...
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for all the stories.
Sure.
All right. So it's WMFO. We've got a couple of minutes. I want to cobble together a little set sort of to take us out until 11 a.m. when Something About the Women comes in today with Ryan sitting in. There's a band called Sharp Class from Nottingham, UK, that Linda Bean Party from a local band that we love here told us about. They have a new record called Tales of a Teenage Mind. They're going to be here in the States in May touring on this record. This is a great new song from them. It's New Noise called Move by Sharp Class. It's WMFO.
Time will stop just for you. Put on your shoes and tie them right up tight. Get yourself on the move. Don't slow down, but go and drag your feet. Don't you scuff up those shoes. Keep it up, don't you stop. We've got to move, 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 move. Are you feeling the freedom? It's what you're watching up beat. It is the freedom that you're feeling. Shout move, move, move in the streets. Like a flame in the night, keep it lively and burning bright. They won't realize that what you're doing is right when you're dancing on your own, and that's fine. Life's short-lived in a short-lived life. Watch it, ain't what you're gonna do. Don't follow, be told, then jump the net and be caught. Only you choose where your feet carry you. You're gonna get nowhere if you don't get up and move. Feeling the freedom is what you're wanting to be, and it's the freedom that you're feeling. Shout move, move, move in the streets. Maneuver your own, own a movement. Forget who's watching, just to get to moving. Step by step, shift by shift, shift into action, move to emotion. Get some variation, make an alteration. Measure the count, it's as easy as move, 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 move. Get your feet on the floor to the 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's WMFO right here in Medford, 10:57 in the morning. I've been Mike, and I'll still be Mike after I leave. Had Greg Allen and Corey from Greg Allen's French Religion. Great stuff. Let me tell you about that that last set that I played. It started off with Sharp Class, with Move, Double Shot of My Baby's Love from the Swingin' Medallions. And that last one that we just heard, thank you to Christopher Johnson from Markskin Radio. We just lost a beautiful soul, a beautiful Boston music person. I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly. Gabrielle Agachico. She was a beautiful vocalist. She sang on that song from the old Boston band, The Adam Said, and we just lost her. She had quite the voice. She had the Agachico jazz combo. She played with Reeves Gabrel. She played with all kinds of different bands. Just want to say rest in peace to you. That was Guilty by the Adam Said, A-T-O-M. Her voice will live on forever. Rest in peace, Gabby. Really going to miss you. All right, so 10:58 in the morning. Looking across at my friend Ryan Doyen.
Well, hello.
Wait, I should turn on your mic.
Hi. How are you, buddy?
I'm really good. How are you?
Good to see you. That was a great interview. Great music.
Yeah, how can you miss with those stories?
No,
the stories And he's played with everybody, and the way that they sound really, really demonstrates all of the influences.
Yeah, it was great. And that his story about Keith Richards was something else.
Yeah, I could have sworn. I wrote it down. He told me that there was a punch involved, but maybe not. You know, maybe because of smoking the catnip. Maybe maybe he didn't remember.
Catnip,
I don't know.
Yes.
Who would ever think of...
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. So, sitting in something about the women today.
Yeah. Yeah, it's my 12th time. I'm excited.
Yeah, but who's counting?
Me. Yeah. I'm always counting.
I love doing it too, you know? you know, since we're not going to have shows that are recorded anymore
coming up,
I hope that, you know, Sue and Jane, and I know that Kirsten already comes in, but it'd be nice to see them. It's been way too long.
It's been way too long.
I know.
Stupid COVID.
Stupid COVID.
Stupid COVID.
Yeah, that's so Homer. Stupid
COVID.
Yeah. All right, so we're starting off with one of the best songs, I think, that came out from this crazy band called Hole.
Yeah, yeah. I decided this show, I decided to go, the first hour is going to be all these great bands from the 90s. It's a 90s show, so I'm going to kick it off the first hour with 90s. And then the second hour, I'm staying in the 90s, and I'm going to play a bunch of bands that played at, do you remember Lilith Fair?
I do.
Yeah, from 97 to 99. It was just recently
named.
Yeah,
what's her name was at the head
Sarah of McLachlan.
Sarah McLachlan.
Yeah, it was recently named one of the best festivals of the 90s, so I thought that was pretty cool because I went to all 3 years, and so I'm going to play a bunch of great women that played for the next
Sarah
hour. One Sarah song.
Her voice is amazing.
Yeah, yeah,
so amazing.
Yeah, so